the men of valor putting the notes for today's message in your hand. The message entitled Word Works, or Working the Word with Works. Earlier in the week, I was asking God what He wanted me to bring today, and I had been encouraged not to speak today, to conserve my strength and let one of the able ministers of the body speak. But just the very fact that it would be suggested to me that I conserve my strength would make me my keeper, not God. And I said, ain't no way. They'll put up with me or else. We do have many able speakers in this body. God has blessed us with individuals who could, at a moment's notice, and in fact, I watched them waiting for me to pause during a sermon in case they need to tag team and jump in. But you're blessed in this body to have ministers who can share and teach you. But I began asking the Lord, and He didn't answer me. And so I've learned to turn up my expector when I don't hear from God. Some people, when they don't hear from God, give up. But I sought the Lord for what I should share and had nothing, so I just began to thank Him for the message. And I was in the midst of drying my hair, and He decided that was the time to start talking, so I grabbed a tablet and started writing down what He was saying to me. And I was amazed at the simplicity and challenged by the depth of what He was sharing for this body today. Because just as the word came through Sister Gail earlier, we are at a moving forward point. God has talked to some of us for a long season about stepping into the anointing He's placed in our life. And we have waited for something else to happen, something else to change, something else to be done. And so God said, what your hand finds to do, do with all your heart. And I want to explain something to you. There are people in church today who are not being used of God and never will be. I said there are people in church today who are not being used of God and never will be, because they're waiting for God to come around to their way of thinking. Now, when God calls them out in a body and explains point one, point two, point three, point four of their life and supplies the money to do everything that they're called to do, then they may start doing it. But God said, wherever you are, whatever your hand finds to do, start doing that. And when you show yourself faithful in that which is little, then you can be trusted with that which is much. But a lot of people are waiting for the much, and they won't do the little. I did not begin life with the Lord to be in ministry. In fact, I hated preachers. I loved ministers. I hated preachers. And it seemed most of the churches in this town were filled with preachers. That's people who tell you how to live and don't. If you don't live it, don't tell me about it. And don't judge my life because I happen to play marbles and you don't. You see, everybody has their own peccadilloes, their own weaknesses. One person's sin looks larger than another, but everybody has a weakness. Again, let me repeat in case you missed it. Everybody, including the person sitting in your seat, has weaknesses. So quit looking at others so you can't see yours. God didn't call you to be perfect. He called you to be willing to be used. God can use you with imperfections. He cannot use you with judgments. You're not a good Christian because you point out everyone else's mistakes. You're a good Christian because you cover theirs. Love covers a multitude of sin. There is not a passage of Scripture that says you have any place to expose someone else's shortcomings. We all got them. Some of them are more apparent than others. And some people are tactful at keeping theirs hidden. But if you're taking breath, you got problems in your life. So forget about being perfect. And forget about other people being perfect. Let God be perfect, and you be perfectly assured that He can do what you need Him to do. The Lord began to talk to me out of Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He, the Spirit of truth... Now pause for a second. I want to make sure you get that parenthetical statement. He, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit that empowers the Word, the Spirit that wrote the Word, the Spirit that anoints the Word, the Spirit that causes the Word to come alive in you. He, the Spirit of truth, who raised the anointed Redeemer from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. His Spirit in you is activated by His Word to you. One more time. His Spirit in you is activated by His Word to you. Because there's a compatibility factor that occurs when I read the Word of my new covenant aloud. Where that my ears are engaged, my brain's engaged, my faculties are engaged with it. And then I begin to meditate it. I've done this many times over the years, and I want to do it again. People ask, what does it mean to meditate the Word of God? Joshua 1:8 said, if I'll meditate the Word both day and night, I will make my way successful and I will have prosperity. Now, a lot of people don't have prosperity because they don't follow the formula for prosperity. A lot of people don't have success because they don't follow the formula for success. But you find a verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave. How do you meditate that? For, meaning this reason. Understand, this is the reason that God gave His Son. For God so loved the world, not man. The word there is cosmos, creation. He loved it all. Now, I know religious people tell you, for God so loved man that He gave His Son. No, He wanted it all back. Not just man, He wanted earth. The kingdom that He intended to be established. He wants every tree, every bush, every shrub, every inch of ground. He wants it all. He's not willing to surrender any of it to the devil. So you begin to meditate for, meaning, this reason. God so loved the world that He gave His most prized possession, His special, unique Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might have life. Yeah, Pastor, that whosoever believeth in Him, that means people. Yeah, but when people believe in Him, what is their first duty? To seek the kingdom, and that's all of creation. I get tired of hearing ignorant preachers tell me that the number one job of every Christian is winning souls. You can't find that in the Bible. Then they come to you with an Old Testament scripture and say, he that winneth souls is wise. There were no souls won in the Old Testament. Not the way we're talking about. What that meant was, he that winneth souls is wise. It takes a smart Jew to convince somebody to cut a little off the end. To surrender their way of life to a very strict dietary law, a very strict behavioral law. He that went to souls as wise was about, if you can change a person's mind and make them become a Jew, you got to be smart to do that. But that wasn't getting anybody saved. So you begin to meditate it. An easy passage to meditate is, with his stripes I was healed. His stripes was the purchase price for my healing. That price has already been paid. So my healing has been paid for. With his stripes I were healed. If I were healed 2,000 years ago with those stripes, then I should be today, because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He doesn't take a gift back. Whether it's healing or tongues. I have idiots try and tell me that tongues was just for the establishment of the church. But my Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That if he gives the gifts, he never takes it back. So where can you show me in Scripture where he took tongues back? I can show you multiple times where when he gives something, it remains eternal, steadfast, unchanging, immovable. If he gave the gift of tongues to the church, he never took it back. It's still out there. It's just some people won't take it off the shelf because they want to be in control of their religion, not their religion in control of them. And the only way you're going to walk in the Holy Spirit is for him to be in charge. His Spirit in you is activated by his word to you. They are one in purpose. So when I begin to read the word of God aloud and meditate it, why did it say that? How does it apply to me? How can I walk in this truth? Then I become new. If I just read the Bible, it doesn't do that much for me. I know people who have read the Bible tens of times and still have no idea what it says because they read it. He didn't say read it. He said meditate it. I've got to take the word and apply it to my life. What does it mean that if I'm a tither and a giver, my God shall supply all of my need? It means need was taken care of before it arrived. It means need does not have a legal right to exist in my life. Supply does have a legal right to exist in my life. You see, you've got to break those verses down and meditate them. What do they mean to me? If it is written, which cannot be broken, annulled, or set aside, says, my God supplies all my needs if I'm a tither and a giver, then I can fully expect God to supply all of my need. So I don't say my need. I say this need that my God is now supplying no longer exists. I judge you paid. I judge you met. I don't know how, through who, but I know it's done. And from this day forward, now that I've come to the knowledge that this need is met, it's not my need, it's God's need. And he supplies all of my need, so I have no need. Meditate the word means apply it to your life through cognizant thinking and understanding. But he says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will make your body alive with the same resurrection life that he made Christ alive with. How powerful is that resurrection life? So powerful that all of hell couldn't hold him. So powerful that all the demons of darkness who were gnashing upon him with their teeth, as the scripture relates, the bulls of Bashan gnashed upon him with their teeth. They're attacking his flesh. And when that spirit quickened him, they had to fall from him. The grave couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. The devil couldn't hold him. That's how powerful the presence of God is in your life when you let the word energize his presence by meditating the Word. He says in John 7:38, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture saith." Stop. What does it mean to you when it said, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture saith"? We're talking about word works today. And I want you to understand, anytime you find anything in your new covenant, it belongs to you. Not the old covenant. That's not guaranteed unless it's prophetic. But the New Testament, if there's a promise, if there's a word, if there's a guarantee, a declaration, if there's an establishment of cause and effect, it belongs to you. He who believes in me, as the Scripture saith. If you get anything today, I want you to get this, as the Scripture saith. Because what does it mean? It means if it is in Scripture, it cannot be broken, annulled, or set aside. It cannot be changed. It cannot lose its value. It cannot become ineffective. So when he says, as the Scripture saith, that means you can be assured of this if you will draw upon it for what it is promised. So it says to me, if I believe in him, the Scripture then tells me, if I believe in him, from my innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Not a trickle, not a spurt, not a drizzle, not a dab, but raging torrents of life will flow out of me. But I've got to believe in him to get that. And if I believe in him, then I have a scriptural guarantee that it's going to take place. You see, we're meditating the word together. Lydia, it says, he who believes in me, then he puts in this guarantee. This is my signed, sealed guarantee. As the Scripture saith. Demetrius, what a thought. If I believe in him, then as the Scripture saith, out of my innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The more I believe, the greater the flow. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not given, not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Wait a minute. I need to meditate this. It's saying to me, he's telling a group of people that this is going to happen, but it has not yet happened because he has not been glorified by that Spirit that would raise him from the dead. But once the Spirit raised him from the dead, the Scriptures are now signed, sealed, and delivered with love. Scripture cannot be broken, annulled, set aside. It must be fulfilled. Find his word to you, for you, and become one with it, and the Scripture guarantees its performance. The Scripture I lay hold of guarantees its performance. He said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So I tie that to the verse before. Has he been glorified?
Yes.
Since he's been glorified, I can have life and I can have it more abundantly because the Spirit is now released to perform the word. Church, the dam was broken in you at salvation. The dam was broken in you at salvation. Now the river of life can flow. And the more word you get into you, the more you meditate it, the more powerful you become to perform it. I came, and we know he did, that they may have life, and that life more abundantly. When does that life occur? It's released when he is glorified in his resurrection. and it comes alive in us at our salvation. When we are born again, we receive the fuse being lit. And the more we study the Word, the more dynamite we have in us to blow up. But you will receive power, ability, authority when the Holy Spirit of truth has come upon you. What authority? Authority to speak, to activate the Word. But not your Word, His Word. A lot of people see the gift of prophecy and they want it because they want to be able to prophesy things and they happen. But you can't prophesy things you want to happen. You have to prophesy in obedience to what the Spirit is speaking inside you. People who prophesy what they want to happen are false prophets. And they are too plentiful in the church. Understand this. When any man or woman speaks a prophetic word and it doesn't resonate in your belly, forget it. It should minister to your spirit. Your spirit should reach up to receive it. If it doesn't, they just flap in a jaw. The Spirit of truth or the Spirit of the Word in you doing His will and purpose is what God has called you to. The Spirit of truth, who is one with it is written, in me, doing His will and purpose. The more Word I have, the more power I have. The more power I have, the more performance of the Word I can accomplish. Do you ever wonder, it says, they found Jesus in the temple at 12 years of age, disputing and discussing and arguing the Scriptures with the rabbis. And it said, from that day, he grew in the nurture and the admonition of the Father. Some people think he was born all-seeing, all-knowing. He wasn't Johnny Carson. He had to grow in the Word like you have to grow in the Word. But understand this, he grew in the Word before it was glorified. You grow in the Word after it was glorified. Oh, church. That's why I could say to you, the works that I do show you doing greater, because I'm doing it limited, you'll do it unlimited. It's not that you're greater than him. It's that you have access to a word that was restricted to him and is released to you. This he spoke of the Spirit, who couldn't be in them yet because he hadn't been glorified. So the Spirit of the Word couldn't do the full work of the Word, could only fulfill prophecy. Now it can fulfill everything that it is written. As a believer, we are tripartite, our three parts. If you do not understand this, you are a dysfunctional Christian. I didn't say you weren't born again. I said you're dysfunctional. You're not able to function at full potential. I want you to understand what it means to be tripartite. You are a spirit. You have a mind and you live in a body. You're three parts. Before you were born again, the mind ruled it. The flesh had a mind of its own. It did things because of impulse, because of want, wish, desire, feelings. Once you become a believer, your spirit man needs to be released so your spirit man becomes the ascended one and it directs what you do. You do it because it is written, says you can. You do it because it is written, says you should. You do it because it is written, says it is your God-given right. Most people remind me of a person on the mission field. We sent our youth pastor to a crusade in a foreign country years ago. And he was sharing with a shop owner this Jesus of Nazareth. And the guy said, "Do you have his idol?" And he said, "What?" He said, "Do you have his idol so I can put it on the shelf with my other idols? He seems like someone I want to worship." And we look at that, we go, stupid pagan. But most people who are saved do that. They put him on the shelf with their other idols, and they squeeze him in between television, dancing, partying, drugs, alcohol, sex. He does not become their life. He is added to their life. But when a person is born again, they renew their mind to realize, I can't add him to my life. I have to add my life to his. If I added him to my life, I'm only saved. If I add my life to his life and let him live through me, now I'm born again because the Word is directing my course. If your spirit man has not risen up to make decisions in your life, you're missing out on the best part of life. If you do not see the Word as your empowerment to walk, to talk, to live, to do, most of this congregation learned a tremendous lesson when I was in the hospital. After I'd had the heart attack and died three times, flatlined, and had to be brought back from the dead, you began to celebrate the truth of with his stripes, Pastor was healed. And as you celebrated that truth came into manifestation. But Pastor, it took months. So what? By the time you had gotten it down to where Pastor was out of the coma, out of the surgeries, out of the paralysis, learning to walk and talk again, you had learned that we can celebrate a passage of God's Word as true and embrace it and walk in it. So then you begin to celebrate our God supplies all of Pastor's need, and $3 million in medical bills got paid. Well, Pastor's only, after they discounted, is only $2.7 million. Okay, you quibble if you want to. But before the discount, or after the discount, it was still millions of dollars we didn't have. But God made a way where there seemed to be no way. But as a believer, your spirit man should rise up above your mental man, so that you immediately begin to think of what God said about the situation, not what the situation is saying to you. So when sickness attacks your body, you instantly begin to thank God that you're the healed of the Lord, because it is written, with his stripes I was healed. I'm not going to be healed. I'm not believing to be healed. I am the healed, and this lie is leaving me. Amen. You begin to celebrate. No, my God supplies all my need. Therefore, this need is insufficient to overwhelm my God's supply. I will have leftovers, because my God is the God of leftovers. God invented leftovers. Did you know that? Now that everybody's eating, pick up the baskets. And they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers, and God said, tomorrow's taken care of. Before the new birth, we were mind ruled. After the new birth, we are to be spirit ruled. The transition is a matter of word saturation. How saturated are you with your new covenant? Well, Pastor, I still like the Psalms. The Psalms won't help you grow up. Pastor, I like them Old Testament illustrations. Old Testament illustrations won't help you conquer the devil. They didn't help them. No one got born again reading Old Testament. Our Lord lived a life of conformity to it is written. in sacrifices and burnt offerings, you had no pleasure. But a body you prepared for me that I might do your will, that I might perform the word, that I might conform to the word. The word is your will. Your will and the word are one. That's Hebrews 1. A body thou hast prepared for me that I might do thy will. The Gospel of Matthew lists 68 Old Testament references that are cited as in his Gospel concerning Messiah. 68 times in just the book of Matthew, he references the Old Testament talking about our Lord. In just the book of Matthew, 12 times Matthew cites the Old Testament prophecies as being fulfilled in the life of the anointed Redeemer. The phrase "it is written" appears 9 times in the book of Matthew. Are you beginning to get a pattern here? It is written. What the Old Testament scripture said had to be fulfilled in the life of Christ. You find again and again when Jesus come to be baptized, John says, "You should baptize me." And he said, "No, scripture's got to be fulfilled. The word of the prophets must be upheld. This happened, that happened." And it says the disciples left him that the scriptures might be fulfilled. This occurred, he was arrested, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Why? If it's in the word, it has to work. It has to be done. Find his word on it and rest in the assurance it has to happen in your life. So begin to become a word person. It is written, "With his stripes I were healed." Since that is written in his word, "It is written, with his stripes I was healed," then healing has to take place in my life, because scripture now be broken. So I begin to celebrate its truth, and it takes place. What you can celebrate, you can possess. Start meditating your new covenant promises. There are hundreds of them. But realize this, if there's a promise in the New Testament, I can lay hold of it because he's no respecter of persons. We sing it very easily. Every promise in the book is mine. Every scripture, every verse, every line in his word, you have heard, he goes on. We sing that with ease, but do we live it with ease? If I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Yeshua is Lord, I will be brought to health, safety, soundness, wholeness, deliverance. How do I get to health, safety, soundness, wholeness, deliverance? I confess his lordship. He was resurrected. Therefore, since he was resurrected, the scriptures are empowered. The Spirit is released to empower the scripture in my behalf. Are we putting these things together, church? Quit reading the New Testament and start seizing on it. You know, I thought you're at the sink and you reach over and you grab that sponge and you squeeze it and all that soap and detergent starts to dribble out of it. That's the way the word is. When it dribbles out, you see the power to clean them dishes. You know there's soap there, so you can use that sponge some more. I grab that word and I squeeze it and I take possession of it and I begin to celebrate it as I meditate it. And that activates it to work in my life. Reading it doesn't make it work. Praying that it's true doesn't make it work. Hoping that it's going to happen doesn't make it work. I have to read it, meditate it, celebrate it, take possession of it. Our Lord talked the word, walked the word, demonstrated the authority of the word to rule over life challenges. He and the Word became one. His word in our mouth leads to our triumph. When I say it is written, it can have the same effect that it had when Jesus said to the devil, "It is written." He whipped the devil with Old Testament scripture and then gave you unrestricted New Testament scripture to punch the devil even harder. By washing the natural thought patterns with "it is written" truth, we become word-centered, as was our Lord. And you can take an example like we did with "His stripes I was healed." "My God shall supply all of my need." Whatever attacks me in the area of health, safety, soundness, wholeness, deliverance, I can use the word to overcome it. I meditate the word. I activate the word. I celebrate the word. The word becomes my source, because the Holy Spirit and the word are one. The more of the word I have in me, the more of the Holy Spirit I have in me. John 15:25, Matthew 3:15, John 19:28-36, Matthew 26:56. These are all examples where it said this had to happen that the scripture be fulfilled. He's telling us, find it in the word and it's yours. Find it in the word and it has to happen. Find it in the word and take ownership of it. To do the works he did, we must have the spirit conformity to the word that he had. I always do what pleases my Father. I do only what I've heard of the Holy Spirit. When we can achieve that point that we do only what we hear of the Holy Spirit, nothing shall be impossible for us because we believe. Did you get anything today? The more I meditate the New Testament promises, the more powerful I become and the greater they are activated within me. Meditating the Scripture is just like having the Holy Spirit jumper cables put on me. Praying in tongues is just like having the Holy Spirit jumper cables put on me. It activates my spirit man and empowers me to do the Word. Father, we have shared the Word with your people. Your people have heard the Word. The Word has settled deep into their spirits. The Word is changing and transforming them, and they are becoming renewed by, through, and in your Word. And nothing shall be impossible for them because they believe the Word, they receive the Word, they talk the Word, they celebrate the Word, they become the Word. And I thank you for our church filled with victorious believers who walk in the empowerment of your truth. And nothing shall by any means harm them. And the people said,
amen.
You're loved. Go with God.